Let's do this thing, man.
Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
I don't care who you are.
It's hard to believe this is episode number 97, and I continue to hear from you fans who tell me how much you enjoy this show.
We hate this thing and have from the beginning.
However, the other day, I got an email from a guy named Ted Meyer, and he said, Monty, Jerry Seinfeld says, what's the deal with Monty's Rockcast? You go to the website, there's no Monty, there's no Rockcast. What's the deal? Well, Ted, there's a good explanation for that. You see, I've had so much trouble with my website over the last year, I decided to completely revamp it. And the other day, I relaunched a whole new version of MontyColvin.net. It's a lot like the other one where you can find my CDs, t-shirts, and paintings. Except now on the new website, I will no longer be uploading the podcasts. But don't worry, the show's not going anywhere.
Too bad.
All the new episodes can now be found on Monty'sRockcast.com or on the iTunes Store. So go there now and you won't have to miss any more episodes. And as always, it's completely free.
I don't want to pay for that and I shouldn't have to.
You are welcome. I'm going to kick things off with a concert review.
I don't want to hear it.
It's summertime, and that means festivals. And as you know, I never miss the Vans Warped Tour. There's around 50 punk, alternative, hardcore, and screamo bands on about 7 or 8 different stages, and the audience is made up of mostly 15-year-old kids.
Red alert! Totally creepy!
Regardless, this does not stop me from attending every single year, and this year was no exception.
Something's wrong with you.
My girlfriend Lindsay and I decided that instead of going here in Kansas City, we'd take a road trip to St. Louis and see it there. So that's what we did, and we arrived at the outdoor amphitheater in St. Louis around 11:30, and it was already around 108 degrees.
Ooh, hot.
That's hot. That is hot.
Yeah, of course, it was the hottest day of the summer, but we went to rock, so we put on our sunscreen and bought a couple of $3 bottles of water and started watching bands. Now, I won't bore you with all the details, but I will say, like usual, I saw some great stuff and some not-so-great stuff. I could have done without Chelsea Grin and Vampires Everywhere, but I was pleasantly surprised by a bunch of Mexicans from San Diego called Pierce the Veil. I thought they were going to be some kind of death metal band, but as it turns out, they're kind of a melodic pop thing that's pretty cool. Pierce the Veil with their 2012 CD, Collide with the Sky. And I'm going to have to go back and find some of their older stuff, because I'm digging that.
Yeah, no.
Now, one of the bummers with Warped Tour is that you'll get two bands that you want to see, but they're playing on different stages at the same time. Such was the case around 1:45 when I had to leave Senses Fail to go see 4 Years Strong. And you may have never heard of 4 Years Strong, but trust me, they're great, and they were great live.
Don't forget about it. I drag myself through the dirt just to feel a little closer to the ground. Because I've always had my head up in the clouds. Take a second and look down. I've got my name on a string, tangled up in lights despite the fact that they aren't working. I lay my life on the line to find a way to be unforgettable.
I love that band, and when I got over there, they were already playing, and they looked like big, weird lumberjacks with full beards, and they brought it strong and fierce, and they were one of my favorite bands of the day.
These are some freaky people.
However, my favorite band of the day hit the stage at 3 o'clock, and that was a band called Falling in Reverse. I think they said they're from California, but they are a really cool mixture of metal, punk, and pop.
Well, I'm not a zombie, but I feel like one. Today, self-induced comatose chemical day. My head is always spinning from this dizzy blurry vision, and my stomach is had enough. But I feel like a lady that is pregnant with a baby, because I'm always throwing up. Hi, my name is Lonnie. I'm an addict.
Hi, buddy.
Daddy should have never raised me.
Their lead player is amazing, shreds all over the place, and their singer used to be in a band called Escape the Fate. But he got kicked out of that band because he had to go to prison, and he just got out in 2010, and he made this album. And for the record, this is the best CD I've heard all year. It's got great songs, super catchy choruses, and all with a fresh, nasty bite to it.
Whoa! This will be the end of us. I have tried way too many times to heal. I have loved you so much it hurts me, dear. And this will be the end of us. Pick up the phone. Pick up the phone.
Falling in Reverse actually reminds me a little bit of Escape the Fate and Black Veil Brides, except personally I think they were better than both of those bands live.
Are you sure you want to make that statement?
I always hate it when a band has a bunch of vocal harmonies on their CD, but then when you see them, they don't do them. But these guys did, and they really have their stuff together.
They are of the devil.
After we saw Falling in Reverse, Lindsay and I paid $17 for two hot dogs and water.
That sounds like a good deal.
We then saw a couple of more bands, but then around 5 o'clock, it was time for Of Mice and Men. And you know I love that band, but I have some good news and bad news concerning them.
Well, I mean, can you imagine what that would be?
First, the bad news. The guy who sang all the amazing vocals on their last two albums has left the band. But the good news is that he started another band that sounds awesome, but I'll tell you about that at another time.
What else don't we know?
The other good news is that Of Mice and Men has replaced him with a guy that sings maybe not as good, but still pretty good. And I gotta tell you, their 30-minute set was ferocious, and they pretty much blew my mind when they did this song. Okay, hang on. I gotta check something. Yep. I wet my pants. I seem to do that every time I hear that song.
No, that's classy.
But whatever. It was then time to go to a different stage and see a pop punk band called Man Overboard.
Not interested.
I've been listening to them quite a bit the last couple of months. They do a lot of dual harmony vocals, and they weren't too bad.
Nope. Not interested.
By 7:30, the sun was finally starting to set, and it was cooling off a little bit. And Lindsay and I were just completely wiped out by that point. But we had time to see one more band, and it was The Used. I really liked The Used a lot. Maybe it was the heat and I was just so burned out by that point, but they didn't really blow me away. However, they make really good albums, so be sure and check those out. But as for us, we were done, we were out of there, and 4.5 hours later, we arrived in Kansas City at 1:30 in the morning. I was a complete zombie the next day, but it was all worth it because we had a great time and saw some great bands. Sure, it was kind of expensive and miserably hot, but you know what the single worst thing about these kind of concerts is?
What's that?
It's these testosterone-driven freaks who get in the middle of the mosh pit and start swinging their arms around like they're having a fist fight with the air.
That's being a jackass.
Have you seen these guys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I hate them.
Losers.
I mean, I don't like moshing in general. I think it's stupid. If you go to see a band, watch the band. But these days, now it's not enough to just get in the pit and slam around a little bit. Now you got these self-centered morons who think everybody there should watch them act like an idiot.
They don't care!
Now, if you're one of those guys who violently throws his arms and legs around in the middle of a crowd where everyone else is standing there trying to watch a show that they paid to get into, well, let me just say, you suck. And every night I get down on my hands and knees and say a little prayer that someday I'll be at one of these shows. And I see you out there flailing around acting like a badass, and you hit the wrong guy who comes back at you and knocks your teeth out.
Ah!
Oh my God, would I love to see that.
It would be so nice.
So in the great and wise words of Kid Rock, get in the pit and try to love someone. Or better yet, go be a full contact cage fighter and stay away from Warp Tour, yay-holes. I'm just saying. So that was Warp Tour 2012, and I hope you don't mind me talking about that stuff. But hopefully when I play you some of the new bands that you've never heard before, you'll end up liking them as much as I do.
You could not be more wrong.
But enough about me and what I like. Now it's time to hear from you and find out what you like. Once again, it's time to read top 10 lists sent in by you, the listeners. Back in April, I got this one from Josh Bosley, and I'm just now getting around to reading it, but better late than never. And this is Josh's top 10 list of sophomore CDs that don't suck. In other words, a lot of times a band's second CD isn't that good because they've had their whole lives to make the first one, and then they rush around and put out another one, and it's never quite as good. And according to Josh, here are some exceptions, starting with number 10, which is Dream Theater's CD, Images and Words.
Oh, it's fabulous.
Yeah, that was an amazing album, and when I was in Galactic Cowboys, we got to tour with them on that CD. And it was a great time.
Amazing info.
Number 9 is White Zombie, Astro Creep 2000. Number 8 is Seven Dust, Home. Number 7 is Silverchair, Freak Show.
Ah, really?
Number 6 is Mudvayne, The End of All Things to Come.
Alrighty.
And number 5 is Space in Your Face by Galactic Cowboys.
Now, I don't know that name.
Yeah, you know, Space in Your Face was our second album, and to this day, I still think it was our best. We did a lot of cool things after that, but as far as sound-wise and the songs and everything as a whole, I really like that one.
Oh, it was so good.
Number 4 was Paranoid by Black Sabbath.
Maximum Evil.
Number 3 is Metallica with Ride the Lightning.
Brutal!
Number 2 is Dirt from Alice in Chains.
Totally.
And number 1 on Josh Bosley's list of sophomore CDs that don't suck, Pantera, Vulgar Display of Power. Well, all right. Good job, Josh. Except I must correct you on one thing. Vulgar Display of Power was not actually Pantera's second CD.
That's what keeps me up at night.
They had about 3 or 4 albums on a small label before they put out Cowboys from Hell, but it wasn't really the Pantera that we think of today, so I'm going to give you a pass on that.
Oh, that is so nice.
So yes, despite his factual inaccuracies, Josh will be going to the playoffs and is now eligible for an amazing prize package.
Who wants that?
You too could be eligible for an amazing prize package, but first you have to send me a top 10 list in the form of an email or MP3.
Okay, that's enough.
If I read your list on the show, you could find yourself in the top 10 playoffs and be eligible for an amazing prize package.
The contents of the amazing prize package will be determined shortly before its delivery. All contestants will have the right to refuse the amazing prize package based on the fact that it may or may not be all that amazing. If upon receiving the amazing prize package, you experience high blood pressure, dizziness, or nausea, please consult a physician. Symptoms may be the result of complete and utter disappointment.
So what are you waiting for? Email me your list today, and you could be eligible for an amazing prize package.
Are you as annoyed as I am?
Okay, so that was one of your lists, but how about I give you one of mine?
I'm so tired of all the mindlessness.
Well, all right then. Here's a list of my top 10 favorite drummers of all time. I haven't really talked about drummers that much in the past on this show, but I'm going to now. Like usual, my picks aren't necessarily based on a guy's technical ability. These are just drummers that I think are great for one reason or another. And so here we go with number 10, Aaron Gillespie, formerly of Under Oath. I saw him several times when he was with Under Oath, and he just beats the hell out of the drums. But he gets extra points and makes my list because he's also one of the best singers I've ever heard in my life.
Why don't you just go?
That's him with his band, The Almost, and he is one talented dude.
Okay, terrific.
Number 9 on my list is Mickey D of Motorhead. I just saw Motorhead at the Mayhem Festival, and I'll tell you about that later, but Mickey D is one of the best live drummers I've ever seen. A great double bass player and just a big, powerful machine. Now, number 8 on my list is a drummer I'm pretty sure none of you have ever heard of because his name is Josh the Cobra Baruth from a band called Appleseed Cast. And the weird thing is, I only saw him play one time and I didn't like the band. But he was so amazing that I never forgot him. It was like seeing Angus Young play drums.
He's a maniac!
This was around 2000, and I was looking for a drummer for Crunchy, and I thought this guy would be so perfect for my band, but he was already in a band, so it never worked out. But regardless, that guy instantly became one of my favorite drummers of all time.
Now, obviously, this is one of those stories that probably never took place.
So you may have never heard of Josh the Cobra, but I think there's a good chance you've probably heard of Morgan Rose from Seven Dust, who is my number 7 pick.
No, it's not ringing a bell.
I've said it before, I'm not a big Seven Dust fan.
What?
Yeah, people think I'm nuts, but I just don't think their songs are that good.
You're an idiot.
However, they're good live, I've seen them many times, and I would pay money just to see Morgan Rose play drums.
No, I don't think so.
At number 6, it's somebody that most of you will know, and I know him real well because I played with him for 12 years. It's Alan Doss from Galactic Cowboys.
No, I don't know that name.
Alan's one of those amazing musicians that can play any instrument that he picks up, but he's also one of the most underrated drummers in history. He was a little bit Ringo, a little bit John Bonham, and when Galactic Cowboys wanted a thrash, he rocked it. But I never really felt like he got the respect that he deserved. I don't think he ever got in the drummer magazines, and I don't even think the fans got how good he was and is. I mean, we toured a lot with King's X, and their fans want to foam at the mouth over how good Jerry Gaskell is, and that's fine because Jerry's phenomenal. But let me tell you, I played with both guys, and Alan is every bit as good as Jerry, if not better.
Whoa.
Like I said, nothing against Jerry. He's great, but so is Alan.
Yeah, you know what? To hell with you then. Yeah, go to hell. Go to hell.
Favorite drummer number 5 on my list is Terry Bozzio, who played with Frank Zappa and Missing Persons. But I saw him with Jeff Beck, and he blew my freaking mind.
You're a kook!
I mean, there I was watching one of the greatest guitar players ever in Jeff Beck, but I was totally mesmerized by the drummer. So if you ever get a chance to see Terry Bozzio, do it, because there's a good chance he will blow your mind as well.
I would be so happy!
At number 4 is Dave Grohl, and no, it's not because I was a big Nirvana fan. I never really liked their music that much, and I've always felt like Kurt Cobain was overrated. But good God, did Dave Grohl make that band explosive. It's almost a shame he's so talented, because we really don't get to see him play drums that much anymore. But along the way, he influenced a whole new generation of drummers, and he will always be one of my favorites.
Thank you for sharing your honest feelings with me.
Number 3 on my list is not only one of the greatest drummers of all time, he's also a friend of mine. He used to be in Dream Theater, but these days he's got a new band called Adrenaline Mob. It's Mike Portnoy.
What a surprise.
Even though I was on tour with him for a couple of months, and I've seen him play many, many times over the years, it still boggles my mind every time I see him play. I don't know how he does what he does, but he can make the most complicated things look effortless. Technically, he's a master, and he's an amazing performer live. He's been in numerous bands and side projects, and personally, I wish he could have stayed in Avenged Sevenfold a little longer. But no matter what he does, it's going to be great, because he's great, and he's just a really good guy.
I am thrilled.
Number 2 on my list is Shannon Larkin.
Say what?
You may have seen him with Godsmack or Ugly Kid Joe, but I've been a fan of his since the late 80s when he was in a band called Wrathchild America. In fact, I saw him playing cover tunes in the clubs when they were just called Wrathchild.
Well, congratulations.
He was such a great metal drummer and so much fun to watch. And even though I never got to know him personally, I did get to meet him one time at a Pantera show in Washington, D.C.
Now he has a story to tell, and what a story.
It was around 1991, and my band Galactic Cowboys was on tour, and one night we had the night off, and so we went to see Pantera at this little club in Georgetown. And the guys from Wrathchild America happened to be there seeing Pantera also, and I look over and there's Shannon Larkin, so I go up to him and say, man, you are one of my favorite drummers ever.
This story is so important.
Well, he was a cool guy and said thanks, and then later on during Pantera's set, he gets up on stage and Phil gets a razor out and shaves his head right there on stage.
Wow, that is a great story, isn't it?
Well, since then, his hair has grown back, but he still remains my second favorite drummer of all time.
When is this going to be over?
Now, Mike Portnoy or Shannon Larkin could have been my number one, if not for the fact that Keith Moon is my favorite drummer of all time.
That guy is dead.
Yes, even though the only way to see him play these days is on video, every time I see him being a complete maniac behind the drums, it still gives me chills.
Oh, get out! He died?
I've been a fan of The Who since I was in high school, and Keith Moon just embodied that exuberance for rock and roll that somehow just reaches into my soul. I've never been able to play drums myself, but I know one thing. To this day, I cannot hear the song Sparks without having to play air drums. So there's my top 10 favorites. But honorable mentions go to Bunny Carlos from Cheap Trick, Vinnie Paul, Ringo Starr, and Stiddy from the Wild Hearts. You may have noticed that there was no Lars from Metallica, John Bonham, or Neil Peart on my list.
We've got to ask why.
And I have a good reason.
Why?
They're not my favorites.
You gotta do better than that.
All right. I'm sick of people talking about John Bonham and Neil Peart, and Lars is overrated. There, I said it.
You are lame.
A week or so ago, Lindsay and I got to go to the Mayhem Festival here in Kansas City. And if you didn't get to go wherever you are, well, let me tell you about it right now.
Oh, dear God.
If you've never been to Mayhem, well, it's a metal festival. It comes around every summer. There's about 10 to 15 bands, three stages, and it starts around noon. However, as was the case with Warped Tour, it was about 104 degrees outside that day. So we decided to show up a little bit later, got there around 3 and missed most of the death metal bands, but just in time to see Asking Alexandria and The Devil Wears Prada. Now, I liked both bands, but I did have to laugh when Asking Alexandria's singer came out and went,
"How you doing, Kansas City?"
And then he suddenly stopped for a couple of seconds and then went,
"Sorry, my microphone seems to be cutting out on me. Can we fix this?"
And then suddenly, without hesitation, went right back into,
"Hello, Kansas City!
Rock and roll!"
Regardless, I enjoyed their set, even though they didn't play their best song, and neither did The Devil Wears Prada. And I'm not sure why that is, because it always seems obvious to me what a band's best song is, but they never seem to play it live.
Yeah, just a shame.
But The Devil Wears Prada is a great live band, and I have now seen them 6 times.
Unbelievable!
Yeah, keep in mind, I never saw Thin Lizzy once. But this is the 6th time I've seen The Devil Wears Prada, because they're always playing these festivals, and they're always good.
That's hard to believe.
Around 5:30, it was time for Anthrax, and I was kind of surprised that they weren't playing the main stage, but instead they headlined the side stage. It'd been a long time since I'd seen Anthrax live, and when I was on tour with them, John Bush was the singer, but as you know, since then, Joey Belladonna is back in the band. So I was really looking forward to this, and I gotta say, Joey sounds amazing. They did a bunch of old stuff like Cotton Amash and I Am the Law, and they even did Indians. Oh, I love that tune. And Indians was one of the first songs that really got me into the whole thrash thing back in the 80s. So Anthrax was really good, but I'll have to admit, it's really hard to enjoy anything when you're standing on an asphalt parking lot and it's over 100 degrees outside.
What a wimp!
But at that point, it was time to go over to the main stage, and on the way, I bought a $4 bottle of water.
No!
That's right, $4. And if you go to Walmart or a convenience store, you know how much water you can get for $4?
I have no idea.
You can get 24 bottles of water. That's right, an entire case. I checked. But there you are, trapped inside the fences of an amphitheater. They know you can't go anywhere and there's nothing you can do about it. So they send the vendors out with a cooler full of Gatorade and water, and they say, "Let the raping begin."
Whining, yeah, whining's bad.
I wish the concessions were the only thing I had to complain about, But unfortunately, when we got up to the main stage, they told us we had to have a wristband before we could get down to the pit area. So me, Lindsay, and about 3,000 other people had to wait in line to get a wristband while As I Lay Dying was already on stage playing. And as you might have guessed, by the time we got in there, we got to see a half a song by As I Lay Dying. So I really can't tell you how good they were because I didn't really see them. So thank you to the people who organized the Mayhem Festival in Kansas City for screwing us out of one of the bands we wanted to see.
Dumbasses.
But at least we were in there, and around 7 o'clock it was time for Motorhead. And Lemmy comes out wearing all black, and the dude's in his mid-60s, but he still just flat out rocks. They did stuff like Killed by Death and The Chase is Better Than the Catch. Couldn't believe they did that. And of course, Ace of Spades. And I usually hate drum solos, but Mickey D's was quite impressive. And overall, I thought Motorhead was really good.
It was a joy to watch.
Around 8 o'clock, the sun was finally starting to go down, but it was still hotter than hell. And speaking of hell, it was time for Slayer.
Pure evil.
This is about the third time I've seen Slayer, and probably the best I've ever seen them. And what can I say about a Slayer show? I mean, you get spinning pentagrams. There were two upside-down crosses that were made out of Marshall cabinets, and then lots and lots of fire.
Hardcore evil.
It's kind of like listening to the soundtrack to a horror movie or looking through a window into hell. And if there really is such a place called hell, Slayer will surely be the house band. But I'm not even sure they believe all that stuff.
Yes, they do.
From what I've heard them say, they don't like Christianity. But if you don't believe in God and heaven, do you really believe in the devil? I mean, why would you? But I'll tell you what they do believe in. Playing really fast. I got a little bored with them after about a half hour, but their drummer, Dave Lombardo, is awesome, and Slayer definitely kicks ass.
No, they're bad.
Around 9 o'clock, it was totally dark. We were still sweating profusely, but it was time for the headliner, Slipknot.
Awesome.
This was the second time I've seen Slipknot, and they definitely put on a great show. In fact, I would say it's mostly about the show. Because I like some of their songs, but for the most part, I would not call their music great. But they do rock in a mighty way, and by the time we left, we felt thoroughly entertained. Now, I do love that song, and of course, they did not play it. But they did do most of the songs you would expect them to do, and the crowd went completely berserk. And you gotta wonder, would they be headlining something like this if they didn't wear the masks? And I'm thinking no, but it's a great gimmick. They're fun to watch, and people love them. And I gotta believe they're making a lot of money, because they've got 9 guys in that band. And if you're splitting things 9 ways, you better be making money. But then again, maybe they don't pay the clown quite as much as the other guys in the band. I mean, have you seen that guy?
Yes.
He mainly just walks around with a baseball bat and bangs on stuff. And I cannot see him making the same money as the guitar players. That would just be wrong.
Totally.
The show ended about 11 o'clock, and then we spent the next half hour trying to get out of the parking lot. But despite the heat, overpriced concessions, and terrible organization on the part of the venue, a good time was had by all.
It was a delightful time.
I'm going to wrap things up with some final thoughts and listener emails.
I want this over!
First up, I heard from Fabrice in France, who suggested I do like Ginger Wildheart and launch my own pledge campaign. yeah. I don't know, Fabrice. I just don't know if people will ever financially support what I do.
No, they won't.
I mean, I'd love to do another crunchy CD someday, and hopefully I will. But it's hard enough to sell CDs after you make them, much less before. And so far, only a few people have actually even supported this show, much less an entire album. So I don't know that begging people for money is something that would ever work for me.
Give a donation today.
Okay, this next email comes from a listener who will remain nameless because I don't want to embarrass him, but I've got to tell you about it because it meant a lot to me. And he wrote to tell me that he listens to this show and he listens to my music. And the other day he was contemplating suicide and he changed his mind when he read the lyrics to one of my crunchy songs. And I gotta say, I was really touched by this email and he actually encouraged me. Because I'll be honest, I am a person that struggles a lot with depression and low self-esteem, and there are days when I don't want to go on myself. And even though I've had a lot of good things happen to me in my life, sometimes I think my music was just a big waste of time. Maybe nobody got it, maybe nobody listens, maybe nobody cares.
They don't.
And yeah, maybe most people don't care. But then I'll get an email like this where it says, you know, you had that one line that really spoke to me. And that's when I sit back and think, you know, I didn't make a whole lot of money at this, but maybe I affected a few people's lives for the better, and that makes me feel really good. And so to everyone out there, thank you for your encouragement, and I hope I can do the same for you.
Quit being so lame!
And finally, does anybody out there like the band Atreyu?
No, sir, we don't.
Because I do, and Matt from St. Louis wrote to tell me that their singer slash drummer has a new band called Hell or High Water. And I'm not really surprised, because here lately, a lot of guys have been leaving bands that I love to go form other bands. For instance, bass player slash incredible vocalist Shaylee Bourget has left the band Of Mice and Men to go form a new project called Day Shell. And I've only heard one song so far, but it's awesome. And sometimes when a band loses a member or they break up, it's for the best. Sometimes you get some cool new stuff out of it. And so I went and checked out Hell or High Water, and it's pretty good.
No, it's not.
It still reminds me a little bit of Atreyu, but it's a lot more melodic, and it doesn't have all the screaming. But I'll let you decide for yourself, because I'm going to take you out with a song off that Hell or High Water album.
Could we think of something better to listen to?
It's a rocker. The singer has a great voice, and I hope you enjoy it.
Would you sit and listen to this with Jesus?
Feel free to email me your questions, comments, or top 10 lists. And I'm also open to your suggestions.
Die. Go to hell.
And don't forget, if you'd like to help support this show, go to MontyCalvin.net and check out the merch.
Oh, that's stupid.
But that's going to do it for me for now. So until next time, this is Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like unless it's me. And
rock on.
I can't replace them if I'm not mistaken. I don't have time.
This show sucks.
It's over.